Dr. Colleen Swank, a pediatrician at Sanford Health of Northern Minnesota and the vice president of clinic, joining me today. And, well, you know, we thought we would someday be talking about something besides COVID, but that day is not today, Dr. Swank. We've got some serious things going on with COVID, and Sanford has had to take some steps to deal with that.
Yes, thank you again for having me on. And, I wish we were talking about something other than COVID as well. Because of our increased number of cases and increased hospitalizations with COVID, we have had to go back to a previous visitor policy where only one visitor is allowed per patient per day. And really it's limited to immediate family members and clergy. And then other things are the same. So if somebody is in the hospital with COVID-19, they unfortunately are not able to have visitors. So that part of the policy hasn't changed.
Okay, and that, again, went into effect this weekend. Let's talk about exactly what's going on in the area and actually some of what's happening beyond our area that is affecting our area. The surge is real, and the surge is pretty serious right now.
It is. We're seeing an increased number of positives. We're ranging between 45 to 75 per day. People could say, well, you're having more positives because you're testing more people. That may be true, but we're also seeing more patients that are sick enough to be hospitalized. And this is happening around the state and also in North Dakota and South Dakota. For example, Saturday we had 32 patients hospitalized with COVID-19, and today I think we're at 28 as of this morning.
That obviously is a big issue here, but on beyond that, in the other places you're saying that surge is getting so strong, a lot of hospitals are running out of space, and they're starting to lean on us here in this area because we might have some beds available.
Absolutely. I'm on a call every day with other hospitals within the Minnesota system, and we talk about how many beds, ICU beds, we have available, how many med-surg beds we have available. And the ICU beds have dwindled. At first, we were like, the whole state just had about 30 ICU beds, and that seemed low. Last week, we were down to only having 14 ICU beds available for the whole state. And so we certainly are seeing more requests for transfer of patients, not necessarily COVID positive patients, but just patients needing care. We're trying to cooperate, obviously, with other hospital systems, but we are seeing people needing care and hospitals being too full to be able to take everybody.
One of the things that continues to be brought up and argued about to some degree, I think it's getting less and less, was the percentage of people who died of COVID, that it was a very low percentage. Well, it's still an awful lot of people, and it's still people. That's number one. Number two, people who are sick need care. They need beds. And it's good to see that people are recovering, but if they're taking up care and beds, that has a ripple effect on everything else that might be happening, whether it be a car accident, a heart attack, et cetera, et cetera.
Absolutely, and certainly the mortality rate has decreased as we have learned more about this illness. You know, nationwide, the mortality rate has dropped, but the number of people that need to be hospitalized has remained fairly stable and consistent. And so, and the other issue is that patients hospitalized with COVID-19 stay in the hospital longer than the average patient that comes into the hospital. It's much as twice as long. For example, I think our average at Sanford in all four of our locations is an 8-day hospital stay for somebody with COVID-19. Our average stay for any other hospitalization is 4 days. The more people that come in, they're taking up a bed, but then they're not leaving as fast, so that turnover isn't as much.
One of the things you had to do very early in this was eliminate elective surgeries for a time. Have we had to do that yet?
We are looking at that every day, and so I definitely can't say that we won't have to make some alteration in our normal schedule. Thus far, we have not. But the main thing is staff, and so if we end up needing to use staff from the people that are normally in the ORs to help with hospitalized patients, then it certainly is a possibility that we might have to change what we're doing.
But if you've got health issues, you still need to take care of those. You can't just wait until COVID's over.
Absolutely, and I think that's something that I've always tried to stress when we talk, is that when people need care, we are here and available for them. So we are not too busy for you, and we are safe. We are safe to take care of you, so you don't have to worry about that part. We have multiple ways to take care of you, in the clinic, video visits, you name it. But I don't want to see people not seeking care and then having dire consequences because of that. We certainly, in March and April, heard about people, not necessarily from our community, but heard about people having symptoms of a heart attack and not wanting to come in because they were afraid of COVID. We don't want that to happen. We will keep you safe.
We continue to talk about masking and physically distancing, and it seems to be, you know, in public, that seems to be being done. But we continue to have this surge. Where is the disconnect here?
Well, I think, unfortunately, the disconnect is that we're not doing a great job outside of our offices or outside of the grocery store, that we have friends and neighbors that we are not masking in front of, and that we're not keeping that distance. You know, for example, I saw pictures of hunters close together and then also in the bars later, and we're not masked and we're not distanced. That virus can hop.
And, you know, I think when we get together with family, we feel like that's like a safe venue, but families live in all kinds of different areas and do all kinds of different things. And if it's an extended family gathering, that's not necessarily a place to not mask.
You're right. And I think that that's, unfortunately, a problem with this virus, is you can't look at somebody and know whether they have it or not. I was very excited to travel for Thanksgiving, and we've decided to not travel for Thanksgiving for that very reason, because I know that we would not be good about keeping that distance from family members that live in another state, and we would not be good about masking the whole time. And so I really don't want my sons or my husband or I to bring COVID to another family, and I certainly don't want to bring it back here.
Well, we were talking about that this weekend, too, and to me, that's really a difficult thing. I mean, it's something people look so forward to. The connection with family and friends and the connection with fellow humans is so important. And, you know, you think, well, older relatives, you know, how many more Christmases do we have with them? I mean, there's a lot of emotional things that go into this besides, and it's often very hard to take a clear-eyed look at it when you're thinking about things like this.
It really is, and it's difficult to say, oh, well, you can do that via Skype or whatever. It's not the same, and it's been a long 7-8 months, and we're over this. We really are, but the problem is the virus isn't over it, and so we do really need to look at that. If you remember last spring, the reason that we were trying to slow the spread is so that the hospitals don't get overwhelmed, and we're at that point, and so we really do need to slow the spread. And so whatever people can do to make that happen would be great. You know, I'm certainly not advocating for shutting things down, but I am advocating for masking and for keeping a safe distance.
The other thing that is hard to fathom and hard to know is, you know, how is it going to affect any one person? You know, we know that there are certain trends. We know that it affects older patients more than younger patients, yet you hear of older patients who didn't even know they had it and younger patients who are in the hospital for, you know, 15 days or beyond, and some who die from it. So it's a weird disease.
It is weird. And right here in Bemidji, we've had a hospitalization of somebody as young as in their 20s. And as old as in their 90s and everything in between. Our average age for hospitalization is in the 60s, but that's just the average. So there means that there are younger people that are being hospitalized as well.
And of course, we're all still learning as we go. It's still a very new virus, and we learn new things every day, correct?
Yeah, and I think that's the frustrating thing, because there has been so many mixed messages. We said different things at the beginning than we're saying now. But that isn't because we changed our mind just to change it. It's because as we've learned things, we understand the virus a little bit better.
And this is not just here. This is not just in the United States. I mean, we're seeing a second or perhaps third wave worldwide right now.
We are. Canada reported a spike after Canadian Thanksgiving, which is at the beginning of October. And so sure enough, 2 weeks after that, they started having increased cases, and then a week or so after that, they have increased hospitalizations, and then after that come the increased deaths.
Let's talk about a little bit of good news. Pfizer reporting today very, very good results, their latest round of testing of their vaccine.
Yeah, they have tested more, or they've vaccinated more than 44,000 people, and they're reporting an efficacy of 90%, which I think is higher than what we hope for. I think we were hoping for 75%, so 90% is really good, and that is really good news to look forward to. I think the other good news is that Pfizer isn't the only vaccine in trials, and so there will likely be others as well.
But what comes next now?
So Pfizer will continue to report safety data. I think they'll report more in the next couple of weeks, and then they'll work with the FDA to decide at what point does it make sense to expand the trial to more people, and then to expand it to everyone. From what I read, Pfizer has said that they'll be able to make about 50 million doses in 2020, and something like 1.2 or 1.3 billion doses in 2021.
Well, as we wrap it up, let's go back to the beginning. Let's remind people once again what's going on at Sanford right now if they have somebody who's maybe going into the hospital or they're going into the hospital.
So again, if someone is hospitalized for a non-COVID reason, they will be allowed one visitor per day. For those that are hospitalized due to COVID, they will continue to not be able to have any visitors. Certainly there'll be some exception for children, but that's where we're at right now.
Anything else you want to make sure people know before we wrap it up?
I think, again, making sure that you're still taking care of your own health care needs. If you don't know whether to come in or not, to call and talk to your physician. Also, if you're having symptoms, to remember to not just go to work. I think we're a sturdy bunch. And so, you know, if you've got a little sore throat, you don't want your coworker to have to pick up your load. And so we tend to come to work sick in Minnesota. And this is not the time for that. If you are having symptoms, stay at home. If you don't know whether you should stay at home or not, you can call us and we can help decide whether you should be tested or not. And then I think just the physical distancing and the masking and just making sure that you pay attention to what your exposures are.
Okay, that reminds me of one more question I wanted to ask, so, and maybe you don't have an answer. I'm just curious, has there been any studies done, and maybe they haven't had time to even think about it, of what might have happened if we weren't doing any masking or physically distancing?
I've seen the reverse, where they said that if we would have done that from the beginning, that there would have been thousands fewer cases. I haven't seen the numbers if we weren't doing it.
Again, Dr. Swank, I appreciate your time. Dr. Colleen Swank is a pediatrician at Sanford Health in Northern Minnesota and their vice president of clinic. And the battle continues. Dr. Swank, thank you, and keep the faith.
Thank you. And again, I would really like to come back sometime and talk about anything else but COVID.
We will do that, I promise you. At some point, we will do that.
All right, sounds perfect. Thanks again for the time.